Morning. How are we doing today? You enjoying your first day of spring? Well, two people are awesome. You all know it's still March, and sometimes, you know, March just doesn't like to cooperate. So enjoy it while we can. We'll see what happens. I heard a rumor. I haven't actually read the story yet, so it's a rumor still, that there's a chance that daylight savings is going to go to the wayside. Is that accurate? Now, I think the good news, bad news, is that we still have to put up with it one more time this fall. Is that accurate? So, yeah. And then after that, I think 2023, they want to just leave it. I don't know. Maybe they'll get their ducks in a row and we won't have to move the clocks anymore. That means when you're milking the cows, never mind. I've heard all the arguments for why we keep it, so they're all related to ranching, farming, and the sun doesn't change. It just keeps coming, right? So let's deal with it. Why don't you stand with me as we open with prayer, and let's bless the Lord, because he's certainly blessing us. Lord, thank you for all that you are and do and who you are in our hearts. We're thankful that we together are your Holy Spirit's temple, that we can honor you with our lives. And I just pray, Lord God, as we worship you and honor you today, that you will find joy in our song, that you will be blessed by our hearts and our cries for worship and just praise as we sing hallelujahs from our heart of hearts. We just pray a blessing on each and every one who is here, for all who are tuned in through our streaming service, or whether it's current, actual live, or wherever it's later on. Lord, I just pray your blessing on all who are able to participate in this service with us together as we honor you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God is pretty good at building things and making things. So let's sing about that. Build your kingdom here, Lord. How about that song? That'll be a good one to start off with. Set your rule and reign in our hearts again. Increase in us, we pray. Unveil while we're made. Come set our hearts ablaze with hope, like wildfire in our very soul. Holy Spirit, come invade us now. Your power in us. We seek your kingdom first. We hunger and we thirst. We refuse to waste our lives, for you're our joy and prize. To see the captive's hearts released, the hurt, the sick, the poor at peace. We lay down our lives for heaven's cause. We are your church. We pray revive this earth. Build your kingdom here. Let the darkness fear. Show your mighty hand. Heal our streets and stop your beauty changing hearts. You made us for much more than this. Awake the kingdom seed in us. Fill us with the strength and love of Christ. We are your church. We are the whole. Darkest fear, show your
your mighty hand. Heal our streets and land. Set your church on fire. Win this nation back. Change the atmosphere. Build your kingdom here. Build your kingdom here. Let the darkness fear. Show your mighty hand. Heal our streets and land. Set your church on fire. Win this nation back. Change the atmosphere. Build your kingdom here. We pray.
Amen. Have you ever been in a place where it's absolute darkness? Like truly absolute darkness. You can't see your hand in front of your face. Some of you have. Have you ever done something to bring light into that darkness? Where you just like maybe had a lighter or a flashlight or something that would just bring light. And it's almost blinding when you do that. It's like, whoa, that's bright. But in reality, it's a very small light. That's the darkness of this world as the love of Christ comes in. And you are the representation of that light. We don't have anything to fear with darkness. Light exposes darkness. Amen? It chases darkness away. And it's a wonderful truth that we sometimes forget. And we have this tendency to think that the enemy is scary and somehow he's to be feared, and he's not. You are the one that is feared. We have to respect the reality of darkness. There's definitely an enemy that wants to steal. He wants to kill. He would love to destroy, but he can't. Not when you have the power of God in you. Hallelujah. Maybe someone's here today and you're like, you know, that sounds great for someone else, but not for me. Well, this promise is not limited. Every one of you are special. And he has a plan for you. You might not understand what it is yet, but you are something that God created. And I hope that you will take this song and just embrace it because he made you beautiful.
All this pain, I wonder if I'll ever find my way. I wonder if my life could really change at all. All this earth, could all that is lost ever be found? Could a garden come up from this ground at all? You make beautiful things. You make beautiful things out of the dust. You make beautiful things. You make beautiful things out of us. All around, hope is springing up from this old ground. Out of chaos, life is being found in you. You make beautiful things. You make beautiful things out of the dust. You make beautiful things. You make beautiful things out of us. You make beautiful things. You make beautiful things out of the dust. You make beautiful things. You make beautiful things out of us. making me new. You make me new. You are making me new. You make me new. You are making me new. You make me new. You are making me new. You make beautiful things. You make beautiful things out of the dust. You make beautiful things.
Thank you, Lord, for reminding us of how you make us beautiful. You don't make mistakes. You don't make junk. You make something precious, priceless. And each and every one of us is a representation of your creatability, that you would make us so unique and so wonderful. The world looks and says, oh, that's wrong. That's different. That's not the same. And yet that's the beauty of it. None of us are. We're all created special by your hands. I pray that everyone here will recognize that and know that and embrace the differences of what we are in you and how beautiful it really is to serve you, to let you finish what you began. I pray your blessing to flow freely through this place, through the lives of those who are listening in, to know how special they truly are. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We usually take time in our service to do our offering, and I'm going to do that now and just pray a special blessing over that. Thank you for your faithfulness, those of you who are a regular part of this church family. It's such a blessing to be able to just know that God has everything in his care, and that as you are faithful, we're able to continue to do the ministries God's called us to. Thank you for your faithfulness. Let's pray, shall we? Lord God, thank you for the blessing through each and every giver. I know that those blessings are upon them as they sacrificially give and just give from their tithes and their offerings to you. And I just pray your blessing on the offering itself, that it will stretch and go further than what even the dollar amount seems to be, so that you can accomplish your perfect will in our lives and in our community. I pray for each and every one that's able to give, and I just bless them for it, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. As we continue in song and worship, you're welcome to give in the offering plates that are here, and obviously we'll have the online option as well. So God bless you as you give. Come out of sadness from wherever you've been. Come brokenhearted, let rescue begin. Come find your mercy, O sinner, come kneel. Earth has no sorrow that heaven can't heal. Earth has no sorrow that heaven can't heal. So lay down your burdens, lay down your shame. All who are broken, lift up your face. O wanderer, come home, you're not too far. So lay down your hurt, lay down your heart, come as you are.
the hopeless and all who have strayed. Come sit at the table, come taste the grace. There's rest for the weary, rest that endures. Earth has no sorrow that heaven can't cure. So lay down your burdens, lay down your shame. All who are broken, lift up your face. Oh, joy for the morning, O sinner, be still. Earth has no sorrow that heaven can't heal. Earth has no sorrow that heaven can't heal. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
I want to challenge you to do something different today. As we continue just worshiping the Lord, maybe you need to come to this altar today and you just need to give some things to Him. It's not going to make the service go longer. It's not going to cause the pot roast to burn at home. Whatever the reasons are that we don't like to linger after a church service when the altar is open, this is a built-in opportunity for you to come, find a place. Maybe you just want to walk and just pray and just give Him your heart. We have two songs to go through, and I want to open this altar for you to come and pray. Maybe you're needing a touch in your body, and you just will come here and lay it on the altar. Someone else will be led to pray over you. Let's try to do what we say we do. Have intimacy with God. And maybe you just want to sing, and that's fine. But this altar is open for you at this time. If you want to come here and say, you know, I've never given my life to Christ. I've never truly surrendered to Him. This is your chance. The altar is open for all needs. So as we continue to sing and to worship the Lord, to open our hearts to His Holy Spirit, I encourage you to come. Find a place here. Maybe you want to use the pew at the front and turn and kneel, however you want to pray. Or maybe you just, like I said, you want to walk, find a space. But let's just worship Him truly and let our needs be known during this time as well. Come if you will.
All who are thirsty, all who are weak, come to the fountain. Dip your heart in the stream of life. Let the pain and the sorrow be washed away in the waves of His mercy as deep cries out to deep. We sing, come Lord Jesus, come. Come Lord Jesus, come. Come, Lord Jesus, come. all who are thirsty, all who are weak, come to the fountain, dip your heart in the stream of life. Let the pain and the sorrow be washed away in the waves of his mercy as deep cries out to deep. We sing, Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit,
of your people, we pray. Anoint with your Holy Spirit, we ask. Touch the lives of those who are hurting. Draw them close to your heart, Lord, I pray. Heal the needs that need a touch. Bring joy to the soul that is longing for your peace. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
There's a place where mercy reigns and never dies. There's a place where streams of grace flow deep and wide. Where all the love I've ever found comes like a flood, comes flowing down. At the cross, I surrender my life. I'm in awe of you, I'm in awe of you. Where your love ran red and my sin washed white, I owe all to you, I owe all to you, Jesus. There's a place where sin and shame are powerless, where my heart has peace with God and forgiveness. where all the love I've ever found comes like a flood, comes flowing down. At the cross, at the cross, I surrender my life. I'm in awe of you, I'm in awe of you. Where your love ran red and my sin washed white, I owe all to you, I owe all to you. At the cross, I surrender my life. I'm in awe of you, I'm in awe of you. Open wide here, you saved my life. Here I bow down, here I bow down. Here my hope is found, here on holy ground. Here I bow down, here I bow down. Here arms open wide, here you saved my life. Surrender my life. I'm in awe of you, I'm in awe of you. Where your love ran red and my sin washed white, I owe all to you, I owe all to you. At the cross, I surrender my life. I'm in awe of you, I'm in awe of you. Where your love ran red and my sin washed white, I owe all to you, I owe all to you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Let's just listen to him for a minute, shall we? Listen for his voice. He's speaking to you. Listen to his words. Those words are for you. Hold on to them. Embrace what the Spirit is saying. Lord, thank you for speaking to our hearts today. Thank you for touching lives at the altar. Whatever was happening there was a blessed, wonderful moment in time, a time that shall never be forgotten. An altar moment before you that will forever be before them. Lord, you know exactly what happened there for each one that came, for those that were in their place singing and just embracing your heart and your love, listening for your voice. Lord, let this moment not be forgotten, but embraced for tomorrow, for the week ahead, and for years to come. May we always strive to be with you in such a way that we listen always to your voice. These are great opportunities. These are great moments that we can have together. But there's also moments that we have with you at the workplace, while we're driving,
here and there, everywhere. I just pray, Lord God, that you will ever be before us. Make us so much aware of your presence at all times. Thank you for this, Lord. Thank you for this moment. Thank you for this opportunity to praise your name, but also be blessed by your Holy Spirit. We give you thanks and praise in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Amen. This working okay? Awesome. Sorry about the little span there between things. I actually have a plan to help transition from one part of the service to the next. It's actually a pretty big plan that involves some help, and I would like to call two couples forward at this time, and I am looking to see where Jen is. Is she hiding somewhere? If someone could grab Jen. She's looking at me with those eyes that say, what? And Levi and Jen, would you come forward? And Doug and Beth, would you please come forward? Come on in, Jen. We need you. Come on up here or stand on the platform if you don't mind. Sometimes we face challenges in life that are difficult, they're challenging, they're overwhelming, and sometimes we have blessings in life that we just want to celebrate. And I believe this is a time of celebration for us. And I would like to share, first of all, that it's been a very difficult number of months that we've gone through as a church, just family challenges that we've had with staff, with family that we love. And because of that transitional time, we've been scrambling with some great volunteers, by the way. Thank you, everyone who's been a blessing in helping our ministries to keep going. Ruthie's kind of hiding in the back corner, but she took on our after-school program, headed that up, and did an outstanding job with some help. I know Lloyd was a right-hand man and has been for a couple years at least. To help with that program, that ministry, and MJ has been a trooper with keeping things structured with our kids program for Wednesdays as far as advisor, but most importantly for our Sunday for our kids' church. But through the transition and the challenge, my son Levi, stepped in to help as he was a helper at times with youth group, and so he stepped in to help, and I basically led, and he was my assistant for youth ministry for a while, and Doug and Beth stepped in to help with dinner church because I had to leave early to go to youth group, and long story short, they stepped in as volunteers as well and did a great job. Well, we have since officially hired Levi on a very part-time basis to be our youth leader, and we somehow miraculously talked Jen into being a helper with youth group. And I will say that when we did our winter retreat a couple weeks back, Levi and Jen both did an outstanding job, and I actually was stepping back more and more every hour, and they were stepping up, and I don't know if they were aware of it or not, but I did that purposely and intentionally, and they're just a wonderful couple. I'm a little biased because they're my family, but they're my family in two ways. One is obviously through marriage, but also through the Holy Spirit's joining us together. And so I'm so thankful for their desire to help lead ministry with our youth. So welcome to the family, the staff portion of it. And now I'm your boss again. Ha ha ha! Woohoo! High fives all around! No, I'm just kidding.
So that's all that. And here's a wonderful couple that we've been praying for and with for quite some time, because Doug and Beth have been called into the ministry. And Doug has held credentials for many, many years. He's been a youth minister in years gone by, in his early years. And Beth, of course, has been a part of those ministries. And through a long challenge of prayer and seeking, resumes going every which way, opportunities, interviews, etc., we also were praying, is there a way that we can find Doug and Beth as part of our staff family? And I am excited to tell you that there is a way. We're still trying to figure it out. But officially, Doug has accepted the staff position of an associate pastor here at our church. And I'm very excited about that. It's going to be complicated to make it all flow, but we're going to figure it out together, because Doug is working a full-time job. And somehow, some way, we're going to incorporate what we need for ministry leadership from Doug and Beth, because Beth is a trooper. She's an amazing pastor's wife and an outstanding leader for children as well. And so we're going to find a way, and it's going to be awesome. So I just wanted to welcome Doug and Beth Gentry, Levi and Jen Peterson, as staff members of our church family. So congratulations. Looking forward to what's in store. Now, you all want to hear speeches? Did you have anything you wanted to say about that?
It's been a long road. We're just looking forward to seeing what God has for us here. Throughout the last couple of years, as Beth and I have been trying to figure out where he would have us go and minister. During that time, he's really never released us from Glendive. There's a lot more still going on here, and I'm excited about that. Partnering here with Pastor Kevin and Levi, hopefully with Jen and Beth here and the rest of the staff here, I am just looking forward to seeing what God has for that.
Amen.
I really am.
So. Amen. So we're going to give this our best shot for the next year for sure. That's what we've definitely committed ourselves to, with an understanding that if God does release Doug and Beth, that we're not going to stand in their way if they're supposed to pastor another church somewhere. But we're going to hold on to them as long as God lets us do that. So I'm excited. And let's just pray, and just pray a blessing. If you want to stand with me, let's pray a blessing over our leadership. And we don't really for sure know what this is going to look like in the future. We're trusting God. And so let's pray, shall we, and just ask his guidance. Lord, thank you so much for these wonderful couples that are willing to serve you. And I know, Lord, that there's other places that could do so much more in so many different ways. And yet, Lord, you have drawn them to us, and you have kept them here with us. It's so wonderful, Lord, because we already have a family connection as we've been a part of this team for some time already. And now it's an official position that needs your guidance. And so, Lord, I just pray that you will just bless Levi and Jen as they lead our youth and as they are involved with some of the kids' ministries as volunteers as well. And I just pray especially for Doug and Beth. This is a big step of faith. And I know, Lord God, you are going to lead and you are going to provide. And I just pray, Lord God, that as we go forward together as a family that's united, that you will just bless beyond measure, as we trust in you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you guys. Thank you so much. Hallelujah. There is one more announcement I was going to give, and I'm trying to find out. I suppose, is Pam doing nursery today? Okay, so in case you have an opportunity to say something to Pam Fryer, Pam was actually appointed as our church board secretary. So she is taking that official role to keep our minutes and then signed official documents when needed as well. So we're excited to have Pam on board with that part of our church's ministries as well. So do we have kids' church today to dismiss, or is this the quiet bags? I forget. We have kids' church. All right, let's dismiss our kids to go with Levi and Jen. Is their turn? And while the kids go to kids' church, let's turn in our Bibles to Matthew. Matthew chapter 20, and we'll begin with verse 20. Just for announcement purposes, you have a bulletin. You saw the screen scrolling earlier, if you got here early enough in the service. Easter practices will start on April 3rd. That's in preparation for Easter, which is the 17th. And we get a late Easter this year, so it might be one of those nice days. Who knows? I've seen every kind of Easter there is imaginable. I've seen very, very, very cold with lots of snow, and then I've seen that wonderful 70s. It's like, wow, what's that? So we have Easter coming up on the 17th. Ladies' Craft Night, don't forget about that, March 31st. Men's Breakfast this week, Saturday morning. Is it this week already? No, it's following week, correct? All right, so Men's Breakfast, April 2nd, Real Gals, Common Ground. All those things are happening, and so that's as much as I'll say about that. Matthew chapter 20, verse 20 through verse 28. As I'm continuing to be challenged by Francis Chan's book, Letters to the Church, it's been wonderful and it's been exciting because so many times I'm reading words that, quite honestly, are words that I've already felt like I've read. Because they're my heart, they're what God's been leading us in, and so the timing, of course, is beautiful. Matthew 20, verse 20, through verse 28, it says, "The mother of the sons of Zebedee came up to him with her sons, and kneeling before him, she asked him for something." How many have those embarrassing mom moments? It's like, really, mom? Please stop. You know, you put them on the spot and you make them really awkward. Moms are great about doing that. I think it's a gift. Am I right, moms? Okay, it's a special gift. We know this. And so the brothers, James and John, they have a special gifted mom who is going to put them on the spot, and it doesn't go so well. But we're going to talk about it because Jesus gives a great answer to counter what she is asking for. She asks him something, verse 21, and he said to her, "What do you want?" Have you ever wondered what the tone sounded like? Tone is everything, right? What do you want? What do you want? How do you think Jesus said it? Probably pretty level, right? Not like, "What do you want?" But anyway, he asked the question. I wish we knew more about how he said it. And she said, "Say that these two sons of mine are to sit on your right hand and one on your left as you come into your kingdom," or in your kingdom. And Jesus answered, "You do not know what you're asking. Are you able to drink the cup that I am to drink?" And now the brothers speak. And I don't know if they said it exactly the same time like twins might do. "We are able," they said. And he said to them, "You will drink my cup. But to sit at my right hand and at my left is not mine to grant, but it is for those for whom it has been prepared by my Father." When the ten heard it, they were indignant at the two brothers. "How dare you?" I think that one's actually explaining it well. The indignation. Can you imagine the vibes in that small group as they're discussing this now? It's like, really? Really, James? Really, John? I mean, what was your mom thinking? Why did you go along with that? Come on. They were indignant, and Jesus called them to him and said, here's the lesson time. "You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them. It should not be so among you. But whoever would be great among you must be your servant." This is the living upside down mentality that we talked about in Sunday school. And I actually like the words right side up better. Because we're actually living in our human flesh upside down. And God wants to right side up what we are doing. Right the ship, if you will. "Whoever would be great among you must be your servant, and whoever would be first among you must be your slave, even as the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. Let's pray. Lord, this is an interesting story. It's ironic in so many ways. It's embarrassing. It caused a rift. It caused grumbling and griping. But Lord, you came through and you brought peace and harmony with a great lesson. It might have been confusing, Lord. I get that. It's still challenging for us, even though we understand it. So I pray that your words of truth will not just be understood. May we live your words of truth. Help us to be faithful to the challenge, to be servants. I ask this in your precious name. Amen. Servant. Last week we had a fun one. We talked about gangs. I got to show the introduction to the TV show Cheers, where everybody knows your name and you're welcomed, and you in some ways build a relationship with family that is in some ways wonderful and supportive. It's really sad, and I brought this out, it's really sad that in some ways bars do a better job of building relationships than churches do. And the reason, of course, is that if you are part of that group, those members, if you will, of a bar, of a local one that you like to hang out with, you're probably going to spend more than an hour there a week. You're probably there almost every day of the week. It could lead to alcoholism. It could lead to some really bad things, broken marriages and turmoils that are beyond belief. But you have your friends, and they're there for you. And you suffer through all of the life casualties because you long for that connection. You long for that fellowship. You long for that closeness and that acceptance. People shouldn't have to look to bars to find what they should find with us. They shouldn't have to long to be known. They should be able to be a part of something so much greater. And that's the family of God. If all we do and we call it church is what's happening right now this morning, then we've failed. And so I challenged all of us that we need to figure out how to be the church that's in the world. That somehow we need to live life with this world so that they see our love. Remember that? Wasn't that a good challenge? This one is going to a different level of difficulty. It's one thing for you and I to be in this world and love each other and let the world see us. It's another for us to become servants and slaves. To not care as much about what we get in relationship to how much we can give. That is the opposite of this world. Amen? I mean, we are living in a society and a culture of victims and demands and rights. I have a right for this. I have my rights for that. And that is not the biblical model. As a matter of fact, if you want to get right down to the real truth, you have no rights. You forfeited all of your rights as you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And you gave everything completely and totally into his hands. And he owns you. Yikes. And yet we leverage him and we tell him constantly what we want. And it's an affront to his heart and what we should have. So this challenges that. So you have James and John. You have these brothers. They're good guys. Mom's awesome. No amens there. Let's just assume mom is awesome, okay? She's great. She really is. She maybe got out of her lane just a little bit. But you know what? Mom's mom. Mom does that. She had a right heart, and she was like, you know, my sons are awesome. They're like professional quality guys, so they should have a place. Do you realize what she asked? Do you realize what she asked? Jesus is like, woman, you don't know what you're saying. And she didn't use those exact words, but maybe in the King James. Right? Seriously, you don't know what you're asking. If one could be on my right and one on my left. My father already picked those guys, and guess where they're going to be? on a cross. Do you realize that's the answer? You do not realize what you're asking. Can you drink my cup? Yes, we can. And guess what? They did. They were persecuted. One of them died cruel, painful, horrible death. The other one lived for an old age, but he was boiled in hot oil. Wait a minute. Is there two Johns? I don't want to say the wrong John, but John, the one that lived to be about 90, was boiled in hot oil. The flesh on his body literally peeled off his body, and he survived. He should have died, but he didn't. But all of the disciples, except the betrayer, suffered terribly under the persecution that the early church suffered. And yes, they did drink his cup. Yes, they did suffer persecution. But they could not sit on his right and his left because that was reserved for two criminals, one of which was going to see paradise that day, the other who was not. They did not know what they were asking. And yet they did suffer. The 10 disciples were upset over it. That includes Judas Iscariot, who later betrays. But the lesson is still very relevant for us today. And Jesus puts it out there that, listen, I am calling you not to be served, not to gain status, not to be at my right hand or my left. You will suffer, but I'm calling you to be a servant with a servant's heart. How much? So much so that not only are you paid staff, but you are actually a slave. He refers to both. Just in case you miss it, you're going to have this job requirement, but more than that, you are actually owned. And so he relays both servant and slave in his answer. We have a challenge in our modern day culture of what we call church with the consumer versus the servant mentality. So look with me to Philippians chapter 2. So if there is any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accordance and of one mind. Here is that unity of the family of God coming back into play. Here is that Holy Spirit-led church that we are the temple of the Holy Spirit in our oneness because of the indwelling presence of God. Here is that same understanding being given to us and the challenge that comes with verse 3. It says, do nothing from selfish ambition. Now I'm going to speak to two groups of people. And I thought about this when I prepared this message. When I put it together, I thought, you know, there are those that need a hospital. Amen? And if you are sick and in need of a hospital, this is your place to be. You will find healing. You will find blessing. You will find the touch of God. So please, don't take this if you are one of the people that needed to be here for this touch. But if you are one that's been serving God alongside me for many years, you've been serving the Lord faithfully for X amount, whatever that X represents, then this challenge is for you. Do not come to this assembly of believers and ask, what's in it for me? Stop that. It's time to change your thinking. It's time for you to come as a follower of Jesus Christ who is one with me because we are joined together by one God, one Spirit, and ask this question instead. What can I bring with me? What can I do for the kingdom of God? What can God do for me, not through what I get, but through what I give? How can I be of service, Lord, this morning? and ask that same question tomorrow and Tuesday and Wednesday and but so many times, I have to say, it's been a pretty consistent challenge throughout the years of ministry that I've been a part of, that people continually ask, when are you going to do something for me, when what they should be doing is asking, how can I do more for God? I know that's offensive. But God speaks offensive things, and this is one. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Whoa. Whoa, whoa. Yeah. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also the interests of others. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who through, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of man. And being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. So, the challenge. We are supposed to be like Jesus. Now, I want to reiterate, if you need a hospital, this is your place. But if you are healthy, you know the Lord. Matter of fact, you can probably tell me things and preach to me things and preach to all of us things that you know from the biblical truths of what you've gleaned over the years. Then why are you still asking for more when what you should be doing is asking to give more? All of this knowledge has to do something. All of this understanding of the power of God in your life is not just for you. It's for someone else that God wants to minister through you. And that's the servant heart that Jesus portrays. I had a funny illustration I forgot about. You know, how we ask for things and we really don't know what we're asking, and then it's like, whoa, I probably shouldn't have asked for that. I want to ask all the dads, because we kind of picked on the moms just a little bit. So I want to ask all the dads. How many of you dads here, if you have a son, ask your son if he wants a Hertz donut? Levi's downstairs now. I feel bad. But I said, hey, Levi, you want a Hertz donut? He goes, yeah. Okay. Boom! Right on that thigh. Oh! I said, Hertz donut. I know. This is life lessons. Yeah, the Charlie horse is good too. That's true. How does a rooster look over a fence? Ooh. Right? Those are fun. Yeah, I know. It was mean. But Levi still laughs about it, so it's okay. Sometimes we don't realize what we're asking for, right? And so that was what James and John went through, except they weren't necessarily the ones that set it all up. But maybe they were. Maybe they say, Mom, how about you say it? It'll come through so much better if you bring it up. We are supposed to do nothing out of selfish ambition. It's said, and this is a physiological thing, this is a psychological truth, it is said that the most miserable people in this world are takers. That's not a biblical truth. That's a fact. And it doesn't matter how much you take. You just can't get enough. And you can use that from the lowest of stature, of the least in financial blessing, and you could take it all the way to the highest form of the richest that you can imagine. They are miserable people if all they do is take. The opposite is true as well. The most peaceful and satisfied people are givers. Are you a giver, one that lives a life of humility? Then you are probably full of joy and at peace. You don't stay awake at night fretting and fearful of the state of our world and our country, because you are at peace. As you just pour out more as God has enabled you. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Verse 7. Okay. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. The Holy Spirit will manifest Himself through you and the gifts He gives you. I want you to understand this. It's a powerful truth. You are gifted by God for something greater. And as you submit your life to Him, and as you open your heart in a servant's heart, and begin to look for ways that you can be a blessing to someone, the Holy Spirit manifests Himself in and through you. What does that mean? That means when people are experiencing your ministry, your gift, your love, your kindness, your service, they are literally seeing God. That's amazing. That one would be touched by the Holy Spirit because of the gift He's giving you to live before the lives of the people that are hurting. Your gift is for what? It's for the common good. That seems so simple. It's like common good. Couldn't we get deeper than that? And yet it is good. How can God use you and manifest Himself through you? If you jump ahead to chapter 14, verse 12. Chapter 14, verse 12, it says, "So with yourselves, since you are eager for manifestations of the Spirit, strive to excel in building up the church." This is a long discussion about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. There are many, many messages that can be written and preached and taught about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And there's so many different ways that God uses you in this world through His manifestations. I don't want to get down to the breakdown of these manifestations because there's many. But I do want to say this: God can and will show Himself to others through you as you are willing and as you open your heart to Him. And this is something that you do to build us up, to build one another up, to excel, to exemplify the building up of the church. Who is the church? We are the church. Should we be only celebrating these gifts here? No. You ever wonder why the manifestations of the Holy Spirit have become less and less and less and less as the centuries go on? It's because we think this is church. This is not church. You are church. And what we do in our world is church. The manifestation of the Holy Spirit is going to use you in a place that isn't here. Now, can He do it here? Absolutely. He just did that, you know, half hour ago. But this is not the only place that God calls us to be used by His Holy Spirit. Show me a place in the Bible where Jesus did a miracle that was hidden from the world's eyes. Just one. That's all I ask. There isn't. Every miracle He performed was in front of unbelievers. A lot of people have said, "Oh, we need more manifestations of the Holy Spirit." I agree. When are you going to start praying for people at the cafe and the restaurants and the gas stations? Well, I wasn't saying that. I mean, we don't need more of that. Yeah, we do, because that's what Jesus did. Jesus spoke to people, prayed for people. He had them wash in a public lake. He didn't bring them into a private baptism. He put them in a public baptism. Wash in the Jordan seven times. You, that filthy, dirty water? No, I'm not going to do that. Well, then you're not going to get healed. Sorry, dude. Hey, what are you doing, Joe? Oh, I got to go wash seven times. Well, that's not washing. That's getting dirtier. Yeah, but Jesus said. Jesus said? Oh, I've heard of him. Yeah, so I'm going to trust him. And I'm going to do this thing. Comes out healed. Wow. People start talking. And thousands start following. And Jesus can't hardly even get away. He's like, you guys go to the other side of the lake. I'll be there sometime later. Just go ahead and you can just head on out. I got to go pray. So he goes up on the hillside to pray. And after the ninth hour, he realizes, well, it's time to go. And he walks on water to get across. And the people meet him on the other side when they finally get there. It's like, I thought I was getting away from you people, but oh well. Oh, and there's some miracles that happened along the way. Right? Jesus did everything in the public eye, and we want to do everything in the private eye. And we wonder why the church is struggling in this culture. We wonder why our culture is moving further and further away from God. We wonder why our children don't believe in God anymore. They believe they're evolving from some kind of an ape. Well, it's because we pulled ourselves out. We checked out a long time ago. It's time to check ourselves back in. Amen? And it's not about we got to get something from the people. No, we got to give something to the people. What can we do to give more? What can we do to love more? What can we say, no strings attached, how can I show my love for you? Well, what's the catch? There's no catch. I just want you to know God's love, and I love you, and so how can I show that? When can we become that in our world today rather than takers and want more? Why can't we just start giving all? So here's the deal. You're looking at me and you're saying, okay, that's great words. When are you going to start doing all that stuff? Well, I try to do some of that, but I'm going to be quite honest with you. That's not my job. Pastor's been fired for that before. Yep. It's true. It has happened. But let's look to the Bible, shall we? And here's my burden. Here's my burden and my call on display for you to see. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. And he gave the apostles, and by the way, I shared this publicly for the first time a few weeks back. I honestly see myself more in this lane of ministry than the specific pastoral. I believe there's something greater going here that's beyond me. God has given us apostles, prophets, evangelists, shepherds, and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry. Guess what I'm doing right now? I am helping to equip you to go do the ministry. Because 80 or 65 of you doing what the ministry is far, far more effective than what I can do all by myself. It's just common sense. And so I'm hoping that something will just lighten up in your mind and your heart and your soul, and you'll realize, whoa, you mean I am supposed to be doing ministry in this community? Not we hired Pastor Kevin and Doug and Levi to do it. And their wives, because they come with the deal, don't they? It's wonderful. But no, our jobs, our greatest passion, our greatest mission is to help you do you and to do it better. He gave apostles, prophets, evangelists, shepherds, teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for the building up the body of Christ. Until we all attain to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. I don't think I had all those verses there, but I have them in the next point. So here's the deal. I am your personal trainer. I am not your massage therapist. Come on, give me 10 more. Come on, you can do 20 more. Come on, lift those weights. Come on. Dun, 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 dun. Dun, dun, dun. Rocky, come on. The eye of the tiger. You are the one in training. I am going to be giving you all the enthusiastic support I could possibly give, but here's the bottom line. I'm not going to lift the weights for you. I'm not going to run on that treadmill for you. I'm not going to do those crunches because sit-ups are harmful, so we've switched now. We're doing crunches. Nobody's really liking what I'm saying except you, Pat. So thank you for the support. Everybody's kind of like, I don't like a thing he's saying right now. I wish he'd just stop. Let's have the end and pray and go home. Now, massage therapists have their place, and maybe that's something that you all have that gifting for, and you're like, oh, let me get this, and you're like, oh, that feels good. You know, and that's great. That's a wonderful ministry. That's not my call. Now, I'm going to do my best to give you words that have been encouraging and comforting and all that, but for the most part, I'm here to make you work hard and to sweat a little bit because there's so much to do and so little time left to do it. I believe Jesus is coming soon. The only thing holding him back is that lost soul that you haven't talked to yet. That one that he's been saying, when are you going to do this? And he keeps putting it off. That's holding back the coming of Christ. There is a number. There is a number that will be saved. I believe this. And when it reaches the number, he's going to have Michael or whoever blows the trumpet, let it rip. Let's go. It's time. Let's go get our bride. But the day hasn't happened. That's because there's more souls that need to be saved. And he's waiting for you. He is patient. How patient? Well, it's like 1,000 years is like 1 year to God. He is ever patient, hoping and praying for that moment and that day when we finally reach to the fullness of what we've been called to accomplish through his Holy Spirit. Stop viewing church leaders as people who minister to us and for us. Think personal trainer, not massage therapist. These are the words Francis Chan said, and I have to say that's a really good mental picture. It puts it in perspective. Leaders have become more like personal trainers in our culture, and they lift the weights for the clients, and the client sits back and goes, ooh, wow, did you see that? He's strong. That guy can run. Well, that's not what we should do as leaders. There's only so many weights that a leader can lift. There's only so many miles a leader can run. But when all of us are doing our part, it's exponentially increasing the power and the effectiveness of the church. And so let's look at the right picture and realize the servant's heart is at the base of all of this. Are you a consumer or are you a servant? Are you looking to your leadership to be your massage therapist, or are you looking at your leadership to be the personal trainer, helping you, equipping you for success? And you are supposed to continue to do this as you grow to maturity. What is maturity, by the way? Well, let's continue reading where we were. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 13. Let's see what maturity is. Until we all attain to the unity of the faith. When we are united in the faith is part of the maturity. And of the knowledge of the Son of God to mature manhood to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Lots of notes here. So that we may no longer be children. And here's the explanation. What is a child in the faith? Well, a child in the faith is tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. How does that look? Well, it looks like this. You're listening to some preacher preach, and suddenly in your spirit it goes, stop! Stop! That's not true. That's not right. And you're in your heart, you're going, what just happened? Something isn't right. You know this because you are a spiritually mature believer. You may not have understood it cognitively, but in your spirit, you know it's true. Or you know it's not true. Are you there? Are you able to be a discerner of what is truth and what is not truth? That is a sign of your maturity. If you're not there, that's okay, because you are growing, you are being discipled so that you can become one who can discern truth from untruth. It's interesting, so many are okay with staying as children. Being a child is fun. I remember summer vacation, we called it, when school let out, and it seemed like an eternity of fun and play as long as I can avoid Dad and Grandpa. When I was 6 years old, it was awesome. I mean, I was hunting every day, snaring gophers every day. Anybody snare gophers? Come on. There's not much more fun than that. Sorry, that's my sickness coming out. Ever tell you about the time we snared a whole bunch of gophers, thought we'd keep them as pets? Put them in a dry water trough. We had like 25 of them. It was awesome. We couldn't wait to go look at them the next morning. And I come around the side of the barn, and there's our dog laying on her side, and her arms, her legs are sticking straight out. She looks like she ate a horse. Her eyes are rolled back in her head, and she's going, "Oh." And she had tails and feet in her mouth. I was so horror-stricken. Loopy, you naughty girl. Yeah, her name was Loopy. Kyle wanted to name her Snoopy, and Dad said, "No, there's already a Snoopy." And he says, "How about Loopy?" And Dad's like, "Okay." She ate them all. She never ate another gopher the rest of her life. It's true. They became lollipops, and that was it. That was it. Well, it's fun to be a child. It's fun to play. It's fun to just, "Oh, life is wonderful. Life is good. Everything's, everybody just, oh, when supper, Mom? You know, oh, can I have a snack? Oh, can I have some candy? Oh, can I go hunting gophers? Can I go climb trees? Can I go do this? Can I ride three-wheeler?" Everything just fun and games and play. And that's what we want in the church. "Oh, God is so good. God is so wonderful. He loves me so much. Oh, it's so wonderful to have those wonderful feelings of those butterflies, and it's just nice. And God, can I do this? God, can I do that? God, can I have this? Can I?" God says, "When are you going to grow up?" "Really? I got to grow up?" "Yeah, I mean, I called you to go into all the world and make disciples. And all you want to do is play around. All you want to do is hunt gophers and snare gophers and shoot birds, and you need help." It's time to grow up, people. It's time to find our place as a servant of God. Some of you know exactly your place, and you're doing it. Thank you. But some of you are still struggling to find that. You need to find who you are. Philippians chapter 1. There's a strong desire with our leader for men's ministry for the breakfast to challenge us to intimacy with God. That's part of the maturity that I'm speaking of. We're a little bit afraid of that as men, but I want to challenge you to embrace it. Embrace intimacy with the Father. Come with a heart of service and see what God can do with that. Philippians chapter 1, verse 21. The Apostle Paul says these words, "For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." Those are great words. We all like them, but we don't really want them to be our words. We really don't. We don't want to actually say, "If I die, it's better. I kind of like living here. I kind of like my home. I kind of like my place. I kind of like what I'm doing." And Paul is saying, you know what? I'm better off if I die because I'm going to be with him. He is my love. He is my father. He's the one I want to see. For me, if I live, it's all about him. It's all about Christ. There's nothing that you look upon when you see me that's me. It's all about him. That's who I am. For me, if I die, whoa, that's a great day. That's a great day for me because I am now in the presence of God. Verse 22, if I am to live in the flesh, that means fruitful labor for me. Yet which I shall choose, I cannot tell. I am hard-pressed. What is he hard-pressed about? Well, I have a desire to be with Jesus. I want to see the Father. I want to see him face to face. That's what I really long for. I can't wait to go home to be with God when he calls me home. But verse 24 says, for me to remain in the flesh is more necessary on your account. In other words, I'm going to suffer for the name of Christ because I care about you more than I care about me. It's not my time. He's not finished. I get it. I am going to give all I have so that you can be blessed through the power of God's love. For me to live is Christ, to die is gain. What shall I do? I'm battling it out, but you know what? I already know who wins. God wins. I'm going to stay here for your benefit. Convinced of this, he says, I know that I will remain and continue with you all for your progress and joy in the faith, so that in me you may have ample cause to glory in Christ Jesus because of my coming to you again. I will not depart just yet. Second Corinthians chapter 11. Verse 23. Are they servants of Christ? I'm a better one. I'm talking like a madman with far greater labors, far more imprisonments, with countless beatings and often near death. 5 times I received at the hands of the Jews the 40 lashes less one. 5 times he got the same beating Jesus did. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. A night, a day, I was adrift at sea, on frequent journeys, in danger from rivers, dangers from robbers, danger from my own people, dangers from Gentiles, dangers in the city, danger in the wilderness, danger at sea, danger from false brothers. In toil, hardship, through many a sleepless night, in hunger, in thirst, often without food, in cold and exposure. And apart from other things, there is the daily pressure on me of my anxiety for all the churches. Wow. Who is weak? I'm not weak. Who is made to fall? I am not indignant. If I must boast, I will boast of the things that show my weakness, he says. The God and Father of the Lord Jesus, he who is blessed forever, knows that I am not lying. At Damascus, the governor under King Aretas was guarding the city of Damascus in order to seize me, but I was let down in a basket through a window in the wall and escaped his hand. Did you know what he went through to bring the gospel of Jesus Christ to our world? The greatest missionary this world has ever seen, the one who wrote more of the New Testament than any other man, he suffered greatly. And yet, his desire is to do what? I'm going to stick around a little longer because it's going to benefit you. I'm sorry, I'm thinking, you know, that last whipping, that last beating, just get it over with. Just kill me, please. But no, I'm not going to die, not just yet, because God wants me to help you just a little longer. Is that your desire? Is that your heart? Is that your passion? Is that your compassion? 1 Corinthians, last passage of Scripture. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. I really want to focus on verse 1, but I'm giving it a lead in. Most of you probably know that chapters and verses were put into the Bible long after they were written. So I don't think they always put them in the right place. I think sometimes they make a mistake. This is one place where it was a mistake, in my opinion. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31, it says, so whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Give no offense to Jews or to Greeks or to the church of God. Just as I try to please everyone in everything I do, not seeking my own advantage, but that of many, that they may be saved. That's the understanding that leads to this one verse that is so incredible. What does he say? He says, be imitators of me as I am of Christ. Can you say that? Can you actually say to people, you want to know how to live? Do what I do. Honestly, there's too many times where I've had to say, don't do what I do. I didn't do that right. I failed. I'm glad that I'm getting better. I think we should all say amen, that we're all getting better. We're becoming a little bit more like Jesus every day, right? But I'm not him. I'm not Paul. Paul had the audacity, the boldness, the craziness to say, you want to know how to live for Jesus Christ? Watch me. Do what I do. Because when you see me, you see Christ. I am a reflection of Jesus Christ. Look at me, and you'll know how to live your life. Wow. Whoa. May it be so that all of us one day could say the same words Paul says. You want to know what it is to live for Jesus Christ? Watch what I do. Listen to what I say. Do what I do. Wow. I was coaching javelin a number of years ago. Coaching and throwing are two different things. And so I'm trying to explain to this young guy, he's a senior, how to throw a javelin, and he's got potential. And I coached every step of the way. I put these three different steps together and said, okay, now I'll do all three stages, all in one sweeping run up and throw. He goes, Coach, I just can't seem to piece it together. Can you just show me? Okay. So I said I would. So I grab that javelin. I get back into my position. And I take off, and I've got the javelin. I'm running. I do the scissors step, and I'm coming in. And all of my body was in the throw, and I did it beautifully. And it goes all the way from my tailbone up to my neck. My whole spine just did one of those all the way up. And inside, I'm going, ah, as I threw that javelin. And that beautiful javelin. 155 feet. Travis was awestruck. Wow! Let's measure that. So that's why I know it was 155 feet. State qualifying that year was 160. But I'd never want to throw that thing like that ever again. That hurt. That hurt. My whole body screamed, never again! But I was like, whoa, I actually did it. He goes, thanks, Coach, that's helped so much. And I'm like, no problem. I'm going to go in now. You're on your own. Oh, that hurt. But I was able to demonstrate this is what you do. My body wasn't ready for it. And sometimes when we demonstrate what it is to follow Christ, it hurts like crazy. Let the world see Jesus. Let them see Jesus in you. It's going to hurt sometimes. There's no doubt. But that's part of what it is to follow Christ. Would you stand with me as we close? During those younger adult years, I decided to put the football pads on and show how to play middle linebacker. We had a fullback that was a hard runner. Man, he was a hard runner. I went head-to-head with him like 10 times in a practice. It was amazing. And he was really, really knocked down, knocked silly, and he was all sore. Man, Coach, you really hit hard. And I did the same thing. I'm like, yeah. The only time I've ever been to a chiropractor in my entire life was because of that day. Are you willing to turn your heart to him and become a servant of the living God? You're not Jesus, but he wants you to be like him. Let's pray as we let this message just marinate in our hearts and our souls, shall we? Lord, thank you for the challenge. We have different levels of believers in this place. Different levels of believers that are tuned in online. Some who have been serving you for many years, and it's time to become actively serving others, whatever that looks like. There are some who are just barely getting their feet under them, and there's a growth time. There is that childhood. There is that joy of the summer vacation and the fun and the activities and just the amazing outpouring of your love that just makes us thrilled to the core. But there's a place when we must all come to where we grow up, where we become an extension of you. In a way that is challenging and difficult and yet so wonderful. And so I pray, Lord God, that you will help every person that's hearing this message today to understand where they are in that scale, in that growth chart. Children don't like to stay short. They want to see their growth. They want to scratch it on that doorpost and see themselves grow every week. They want to measure weekly and monthly for sure. And they get excited when they see the growth. May we be like that. Excited to see our growth as we mature in you. I pray your blessing to go before us as we walk in faith and trust in you for each and every moment of every day as we look to how we can serve in a greater way and less on how we are to be served. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you guys. Have a great week. Enjoy the nice weather.